for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Millie Weaver was in, it was New York City, right? So much is happening at InfoWars here. I can't even keep track, folks. I'll be perfectly honest. She was in New York City at another leftist protest. Again, I there's so much happening right now, I don't even know what the hell's going on half the time. And just, you know, another leftist protest because they hate Trump. It's a new label, same protest every day. And it's the same content. You go out, you try to talk to these Trump haters, Trump protesters, and they're nothing but hateful idiots, really. And so here is Millie Weaver's latest video at Infowars.com and band.video.
No, I believe the whole government should resign. It's all corrupt. Dissolve the whole government.
Yeah, Trump's not a part of that government, though. That's the whole point. That's why we elected him.
King. Let them scream. We need a new king. Let them scream.
This is a live street performance.
All mainstream. We need a new king. Let them scream.
A little dirty bird there. Is that a Burger King crown he's wearing?
We need a new king.
The Trump-Pence regime must go now.
Get rid of the leader of this crew, this gang that we have in the White House.
It's all funded by Refuse Fascism, a George Soros group.
W-R-O-N-G, look it up, bitch, you're wrong. Bitch, you are white. Do you not see your skin? I don't have time for your white supremacist ass.
You look like a fascist.
I'm not a fascist.
Yeah. I know she's a fascist.
To call for launching this different kind of protest beginning in October. It has become all the more necessary and possible now that the impeachment hearings have begun.
The Trump-Pence regime and all of his soldiers, they are marching in two, one behind the other.
The decision this past week by the Democratic Party leadership to pursue impeachment opens up the possibility for increased mass struggle by the masses of people taking to the streets and the public squares.
We're not here calling for his impeachment, even though we think we should. We're out here calling on millions and millions to go into the streets and stay in the streets repeatedly, creating a political crisis because of the actions of the people of this country.
And that's a civil crisis, not a political crisis.
Decide we better
political crisis is the coup against the president
you think
that you're falling for.
To allow for violence and civil unrest just to get Trump out of office?
Did you hear what I just said? Nonviolent protest.
She just rammed her body into me, man. Whoa, you think it's okay to assault people?
Just look at the lack of life in the eyes of these people.
You're pushing out of the way.
NYPD, KKK, how many kids have you killed today? Let us not go back.
By the way, a cop was just shot in New York City. I mean, like, you know, two of them were shot. One of them fatally, actually.
We've come too far to go back.
These first actions should involve as many people as we can mobilize in the short time that we have to start amassing in cities and towns across the country on the next Saturday, October 26th, and then to do so for four consecutive Saturdays through November 16th. Every week should dramatize the need for this.
Oh,
and to broaden.
Great. From this little anti-American punk. Who is that guy? So, this is all from Millie Weaver's latest video at Infowars.com.
Trump Pence out now protest. This is the left's attempt to spark massive civil unrest and protest to throw Trump out of the White House.
Wow. All right, ladies and gentlemen, there it is. Millie Weaver at band.video and Infowars.com, the latest video. I mean, where they haven't even changed. In 3 years, they've been saying the same thing. And it's just amazing how, I mean, they just don't get it yet.
Yeah.
gentlemen, this is the Infowars.com War Room, brought to you by InfowarsStore.com. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday, October 24th, 2019. And the news is the same, though it's ever evolving. The globalist influencers who run the Democrat Party are using the Democrats to engage in a coup against the president. And it's redundant to come on air and say that every day. And it's a bit frustrating as a broadcaster, but that's what it is, folks. That's the big story. That's the big enchilada. So we've got another stack of news, though lighter today, on that topic. I got video clips I want to get to. Got some culture news. And I'm hoping, finally, I don't want to curse myself here, but hoping George Papadopoulos can finally join us today. He's been a busy, very busy beaver, that guy. And so hopefully we can get him on today. But he's scheduled to be on in the third hour. You know, I'm just thinking, actually, I don't think I've taken any calls this week. Have I even taken a call this week, guys? I look to the crew. Have I taken a call this week? I don't think I've taken a single call this week. So you know what? I'm going to open up the phone lines because we did have another guest cancel. So I'm going to open up the phone lines today, probably in the second hour, and just get your take on all the news that I cover and the big story, which is the coup against the president. And by the way, guys, because everybody's covering this now because the court case is going on, the James Younger court case, get this. And guys, you may be able to find a story on that. If not, a reporter, Jordan Rachel, has been covering this on Twitter. The people who are actually on the ground aren't being allowed in to the courtroom. And so the judge literally said, the only people that can come into my courtroom are ABC News and NBC News. And then other people that were there, independent journalists, were barred from going into the courtroom. Now, again, I don't want to be redundant, but it's just the fact. InfoWars is tomorrow's news today. Did we publish our interview with Mr. Younger on our Bandai video page yesterday, guys? I know that I said to do that in the chaos of the war room yesterday. Did that get done? All right, let's actually just focus on doing that right now. We got the Millie Weaver video played that's on band.video. So let's just focus on doing that because everybody's talking about this right now. We interviewed the father who's involved in this case. It had to be a year ago, maybe a couple months. Time's flying, folks. Honestly, I'm in a whirlwind today. And there's a bunch of stuff coming in on all these different cookie jars I have my hands in. And it's like I only have two hands, so I don't know which cookie jar to put my hand in each day. It's like, oh, there's all this developing news that I'm directly involved in now. Like, I've got city councils demonizing me now, literally labeling me a white supremacist, lying about me. I'm sitting here. I don't do litigation. I don't like suing. I don't have time. But for the first time ever, I'm actually thinking about engaging in some litigation here because it's getting out of control. To just blatantly label me as a white supremacist and then lie and say that I've been banned off social media for quote unquote hateful content without any evidence. And these are government-run institutions doing this to me. And that's the thing. It's like they sit behind closed doors in Congress and talk about removing Alex Jones off the internet, removing InfoWars off the internet. They have closed door hearings where they discuss this. They talk about us all day at CNN, how they can remove us. So it's like, hey, we blew the door wide open on James Younger months ago. Nobody wanted to talk about it then. Now everybody wants to talk about it. But because it's at this stage in the process, there's not any pressure really just organically from the public on this court case because nobody heard about it until now. And also, you know, when the homeless situation in Austin got out of control starting back in July, you know, we do some local coverage here, but mostly we're national news, international news. We got our boots on the ground, on the scene. Myself, Kellen McBreen wrote a great piece in Infowars.com. Savannah Hernandez going to city council meetings as well. And we raised an issue about this. And I came on air and I said, all right, look, we've raised the issue. We've addressed our government. I stood right in front of Mayor Adler and said, look, Mayor, this is only going to get worse. They kicked me out of the meeting. I told everyone as I was leaving, this is only going to get worse. And this city council is not going to do jack crap about it. And so, and I called up Kellen McBreen and I said, Kellen, there's a story here that we need to write and it's going to get on Drudge. And so Kellen immediately went around town. I mean, we published it probably a month or so ago. Took a bunch of pictures, and you could do this at any given time. Took a bunch of pictures of all the homeless camps, the tent cities, everything, and it's all coming to Austin in a flash, and he published it at Infowars.com with all the proof, all the evidence. Well, it didn't make Drudge, did it? But today, Drudge links to the Wall Street Journal, which again, takes Infowars' story. So, what was it? 2 days ago, it was leftist groups are publicly doxing and labeling Trump supporters, putting their addresses out. I told you that back in June. Wall Street Journal today. Homeless become more visible in Austin, sparking political clash. We wrote that story back in July. We didn't get the Drudge link. So, sorry, that's just, I guess I'm patting us on the back too much here. I guess my arm is getting tired from us being next month's news today. And just, you know, not getting the credit where it's deserved. But that's fine. That's just fine. Because, like I said, it's not about credit. It's about victory. But part of the frustration is realizing it's a lot easier to get victory when you get the jump on these stories. And I guess part of it is our own fault because we don't obsess over this stuff. I could have obsessed over James Younger for the last 3 months. I could have obsessed over the fact that the left is about to publicly dox Trump supporters for 4 months. I could have obsessed over the homeless situation in Austin for 4 months. But that's not what I do. We lay out the constellation of the news. We give you the insider playbook. And so it's frustrating because we cover a story, we hit the target, and then we move on. And because we move on, most people don't even notice it happens unless they tune in InfoWars every day. But this is where we're at. Now, I'm going to get focused when we come back, and I'm actually going to get into this news. And then I'm going to start taking calls in the second hour. Infowarsstore.com is how we do it, ladies and gentlemen. That's how Millie Weaver gets all the great footage. That's how Caitlin Bennett gets all the great footage. That's how I'm able to do all the in-studio work I do and the man-on-the-street stuff I do. That's how I'm able to host events like the Tent City Tailgate that's coming up, and I'm collaborating with some local veterans for a flag lay the Sunday after that, so that's coming up. We'll talk more about that. But, folks, it's all made possible with your support at Infowarsstore.com. I cannot emphasize that enough. And we've got a lot of other things we're working on, a lot of stuff that you see and are a part of, and then a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that you may never know about. But it's all possible with your support at InfowarsStore.com. So get on over to InfowarsStore.com now. In this break, I am going to hit the Turbo Force and the Vaso beats from InfowarsStore.com, and I'm going to kick my focus into high gear, and I'm going to be ready to cover this news on the other side. Everything must go sale at InfoWarsStore.com, folks. Up to 75% off some of the supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. Take advantage of these specials and free shipping store-wide at InfoWarsStore.com.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
I'm so relieved. I'm so relieved to see Shrimpzilla live right now. Still powering the InfoWars studio here. powered by Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsStore.com. Only runs in water that's purified by the water filters at InfoWarsStore.com. Shrimpzilla is a bit of a prima donna, folks, I'll be honest. So we have to give him the best water filtered by the water filters at InfoWarsStore.com. I mean, you don't have a shrimp running at top speeds of 160 miles per hour aquatic without a little enhancement. So we'll be honest, the shrimp is powered by Super Male Vitality. We put a couple drops in his water every day. Sometimes a little turbo force if it's an extended broadcast and we need that extra power. But there's Shrimpzilla still powering. We're sustainable energy here. 3 centimeter, probably less, probably like 3 millimeter long legs. About 12 of them power this entire studio right there. Yes! Total victory with Shrimpzilla, powered by InfoWarsStore.com. All right, folks. If it works for Shrimpzilla, it can work for you. Take advantage of free shipping right now at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, I'm running through so many things in the break. I didn't even have time to get my Turbo Force and my VasoBeat formula combo during the break, so I'm not focused enough right now. But I do want to make a couple announcements. This is just breaking right now. Judge rules dad will have say in gender transition of 7-year-old. And I'm thinking, you know, we should have Jeff Younger back on to talk about this. He can't do it anymore. He's gagged by the judge. So we already had that interview, but we're re-uploading our interview with Jeff Younger in studio from April. I mean, I don't know. I have this little weird, it's like writer's block in my head because I see this great crew every day. I know how hard they work. I see all the great writers and the team here. I see Alex working his tail off for 20 plus years. I see everything the audience has done to put InfoWars in this position. And It's weird because I see the influence that InfoWars has, and it's total victory. It's like such a relief at certain times where I don't even feel pressure to perform anymore, if that makes sense. But then there's the frustration seeing the crew working the extended hours, knowing that we put our heart and soul into everything we do here. And just seeing how our stories just go totally ignored, and then they just go totally viral months later. And so I don't even know. It's not bittersweet. It's like I want InfoWars to get the credit it deserves, and it just gives me this. I don't know what it is. I really can't explain it. And I really think it's because this audience doesn't get the credit it deserves. This crew doesn't get the credit it deserves. And just the whole InfoWars revolution never gets the credit it deserves. And it does in elements of DC, you could say, or elements of the media. But again, two days in a row, Drudge links to a Wall Street Journal story that this show beat them to. I don't get those millions of clicks. I don't get to benefit from that. And then the crew gets a bonus or a pay raise. We don't get that here. And so I'm sorry if I'm sounding a little bittersweet. It's just yeah, I interviewed Jeff Younger months ago. We raised this story. Yeah, we told you that the Austin homelessness crisis was about to get out of control months ago. Yeah, we told you the left was about to publicly dox Trump supporters and put their addresses out there. We didn't get any credit, though, did we? No. So you know what? I'll give the crew credit. This crew kicks ass. And I'm not just talking about the War Room crew. This entire staff kicks ass, ladies and gentlemen. And let me tell you, it's not easy to work here. Okay? Alex Jones is a wild beast. Okay? He's a tornado of a human being. What you see is what you get, folks. I mean, I come into the office, the crew already works extended hours, and I'm like, hey, I got these projects. I need you guys to work an extended weekend. And you know what they say? Great, Owen, just tell me what you need. And then I put everything out there to try to build this so that they can get the credit. We can pay them more, but we never get it. So I'm sorry if I'm just sounding a little frustrated, and I promise I'm going to move on from this. It's just, this is three days in a row where a story that we literally broke months before the mainstream media, and we get no credit. No, you know what we get? Banned. And I guess that is the ultimate credit, isn't it? I guess at the end of the day, that's really the ultimate credit. I guess that really is the total proof, isn't it? Is that we get banned. And you know, I have all these people that now are so in tune. It's like we're building master builders. And so they're seeing the picture and they'll send me stuff how people try to steal stories from me or stuff other conservative popular outlets like to do. Like, again, I don't do infighting. I don't know Charlie Kirk. Maybe we'd be best friends. I know he likes playing basketball. I like basketball. But culture wars? I mean, come on. He didn't start culture and he didn't start wars. Now, I'm not hating on Charlie Kirk. I follow other people to get content too. The point is just that InfoWars gets no credit. TPUSA is told not to engage in any sort of, you know, contact with us. We try to get guests on from TPUSA and they don't come on. I don't know why. We don't get invited to TPUSA events. I don't even care. It just sucks seeing everyone at InfoWars put their heart and sweat and blood and tears into everything we do here, and people just don't give us any credit. It's like we don't even exist. You know, I'm going to move on from this. I'm really sorry. We broke the James Younger story months ago. We broke the Austin homeless crisis months ago. We broke the left publicly doxing Trump supporters months ago. All right, I'm just going to move on. This crew kicks ass. The Alex Jones crew kicks ass. Everybody that works in InfoWars kicks ass. Darren McBreen, Rob Dew, just the extended crew here also that goes out and does the man on the street reports, this audience that supports us so that we can actually pay people here, have new studios, send Millie out, send Caitlin Bennett out. We got other plans to send myself out, Alex Jones out. We got full bore coming up here for 2020.
You kick ass. You show up every day. You're on fire. We love working for you, man.
That's what I'm talking about.
Schroyer.
That's what I'm talking about right there. Now, I'm gonna ignore the sound issue right now because my sound guy was just screaming into a microphone. So he gets carte blanche on that. Ah! Tomorrow's news today! Suck on that! All right, I'm gonna seriously calm down. I'm gonna seriously focus and come back and cover news. That's my promise to you. I'm gonna do that on the other side.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. Talk radio great again.
This is the War Room
with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Primed and focused here. I'm going to delve into all this news. I'm going to be focused and coherent here. And then I'm going to take your phone calls in the second hour. This is coming down right now. Judge rules dads will have say in gender transition of 7-year-old. This is from LifeSite News. The judge presiding over the Jeffrey Younger case, the father who is trying to protect his 7-year-old son James from chemical castration via gender transition, ruled today that the parents will have joint conservatorship over James, which includes making joint medical decisions for the child. Now, we shall see how this goes. Judge Kim Cooks put a gag order on the father so he cannot speak to the press about the case.
I
really wonder, how often is this that people get gagged in cases like this? Because it seems to be just guests of InfoWars, doesn't it? Roger Stone gagged. And now Jeff Younger gagged, can't talk to press. I mean, what the hell is that?
Oh, because he talks to InfoWars, the most influential news network in the world.
Ah, so they say, oh, yeah, oh, we got to gag you. You can't talk to the press about your life. This is our life.
So, that appears to be good news. And we will continue to monitor this developing story today if anything else breaks. You know, Austin, Texas is united right now fighting against this homeless crisis. And so the crew is handing me a bunch of news stories, including this breaking story about the judge ruling the dad will have say in the gender transition or lack thereof, though. We'll see. And then the Austin Chronicle. Council made a decision. It's time for us to move past the divisiveness in the community. City council ready to move on from camping ban. So we'll see what happens with that. Of course, Mayor Abbott has said Governor Abbott has said if Mayor Adler doesn't do something about this soon, he will do it for himself. All right, let me get into this stack of news here. Pertaining to what's going on with the Cold Civil War at the White House behind the scenes. From Mediaite, Trump calls Republicans who oppose him human scum. I laughed out loud at this. President Donald Trump lashed out at Never Trumper Republicans on Wednesday amidst a metastasizing impeachment inquiry. Metastasizing, I'll debate that. The fakeness of it, the fraud is metastasizing. Calling them human scum and more dangerous to America than Democrats. Well, he may have a point there. The Never Trumper Republicans, though on respirators with not many left, are in certain ways worse and more dangerous for our country than the do-nothing Democrats. Watch out for them. They are human scum. Thank you, President Trump, for telling us that. Now, I noticed this a while ago. Oh, boy. All right. So, this story's on Drudge today. Trump's war on deep state turns against him. And you noticed, and I mentioned this, I don't remember where it was, or when it was, excuse me, but I mentioned how MSN has become a new mainstream publication that is getting linked by Drudge to anti-Trump stories. This phenomenon started about a month ago, and that trend has continued. And so here it is again. And it gets Trump linked on Drudge. Headline, Trump's war on deep state turns against him. Well, yeah, the deep state criminal CIA has turned against Trump. They were always against Trump. Nameless, faceless, and voiceless, the CIA officer who first triggered the greatest threat to President Trump's tenure in office seemed to be practically the embodiment of the deep state that the president has long accused of trying to take him down. But over the last 3 weeks, the deep state has emerged from the shadows in the form of real, live government officials, past and present, who have defied a White House attempt to block cooperation with House impeachment investigators and provided evidence that largely backs up the still anonymous whistleblower. Lie, 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 lie. And then it goes on to name all these people who have direct connections to George Soros and the Bidens and Ukraine. Fiona Hill, Yovanovitch, it's the same group. I mean, I can't even, honestly, it's getting out of control to a certain point where I almost don't even bother trying to intellectually connect all the dots on this story because they're all so criminally corrupt in this deal with what's going on in Ukraine, you can't even keep up. It's kind of like the whole thing. Like, every lawyer they brought into the Mueller report had the Democrat tie. It's like the same thing. Every quote-unquote individual or whatever that comes forward about evidence of a whistleblower or knows the whistleblower or blew a whistle sometime as a referee in a rec league basketball game or something, they're all of a sudden, oh, they're legit now against Trump. But no, you do your research, it's the same people. Soros-backed. Democrat operatives, worked with Hillary, donated to Hillary, worked for Obama, donated to Obama, worked for the Bushes, It's the same people every time. And why is MSN now one of the leading propagandist publications against Trump that all of a sudden gets linked to Drudge every day? So that's weird. But there's just another one. Oh, yes. We can really trust Fiona Hill. Mm-hmm. Of course, nobody trusts the government until it goes against Trump, magically. This one was probably long overdue. Donald Trump orders all federal agencies to end New York Times and Washington Post subscriptions. Now, you're thinking about this, and I'm curious. When I say this, by a show of hands, crew, the first thing that came to your mind, was it print or was it digital? When I say subscription to New York Times, Washington Post, raise your hand if the first thing that came to your mind was print. Interesting. Raise your hand if the first thing that came to your mind was digital. Wow. Well, actually, Savannah, you're wrong. And I was actually surprised because I was on the same page as Savannah. I assumed this meant digital. I assumed this meant terminate all digital subscriptions. Wrong. All print subscriptions. So now all the offices, and who knows how many it is, all the offices that had subscriptions to the New York Times and the Washington Post, literal print editions delivered in the physical print to the front door of the office, have all been canceled. However, I've been told the digital subscriptions still exist. And there will be people inside that let Trump know about this. He'll probably cancel those before long, too. But you wonder how much of that, I mean, who's really paying for subscriptions to the New York Times and Washington Post? I will tell you, I pay for a subscription to some of the fake news, and I'm honestly sick of it. Even like it's like a $50 a year deal. It's like I don't even want to give them that just to monitor what they're doing. But Trump has shut them down, so maybe I should follow suit. Maybe I should pull my subscriptions from the New York Times and Washington Post. You know, don't even give them my $50 a year or whatever. So that's going on. Okay, you know, but here's what I'm talking about. We'll get into some other news, but this is what I'm saying. NBC News, Hunter Biden's legal work in Romania raises new questions about his overseas dealings. You know, when I was going through some of this stuff last night, it kind of just re-hit me how ridiculous this is. I mean, Joe Biden literally goes on national TV and brags about how he's a mafia boss who intimidates foreign nations. I mean, like, and then he says, oh, I never did that. Trump did that. Literally no evidence of Trump, all evidence of Biden. And the mainstream media thinks you're so stupid, you'll fall for it.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
To some clips before I sign off, I promise you. But let me stay focused on this news and then open up the phone lines in the next hour. And we'll open up the phone lines. Any topic I cover is fair game. And so far, it's mostly just been how InfoWars is next month's news today. Never gets the credit. And honestly, folks, I don't really care about it. I just wish the crew could get more credit and this audience really could get more credit. For everything that we've done together. But let me get to those clips later and take your calls. Also talking about the coup against the president and the story about Jeff Younger and his 7-year-old boy that his mother... Oh my gosh. Okay, I got to focus on this now because it's in my head. And if I don't focus on it now, I'll forget. And I think I sent you the link, Savannah. The doctor... This is so crazy. So, Jeff Younger marries this woman and they have twin boys. Now, the mother used a egg donor to have the babies. And so she's admit the boy is not even biologically hers. Now, you can debate the, I guess, factor that that weighs into this equation. But nonetheless, that's the facts. Now, she wants to sexually transition one of the boys to a girl. Now, this is not at the boy's wish. This is at the mother's wish. And we documented this back in April before the father was gagged by the judge. That's what they do to InfoWars guests when they get into court. They gag them. They don't like the power of this broadcast. So, and then there's all these videos now of the 7-year-old saying, no, I'm a boy, I'm a boy. But the dad can't do anything. He's gagged. And if he does anything, and it's very sensitive, he'll lose the case. But it looks like maybe he'll at least have some say in this, but we're going to continue to monitor that. But then people go do research into this doctor who is the mother, non-biological, of these two boys. And they find reviews of this doctor. Guess what? Her over 200, and I believe it's 228 reviews on Google. I'm just pointing out the facts. This lady has 228 reviews on Google. A 1.7 star review. Many of the one star reviews talk about how she bullies people and tries to influence people to sexually transition their kids. Now, this is all documented on Google reviews. Did I send you that link, Savannah? How did I not send that to you? Okay. Let me do that right now because I got to show this, and we got to show this to the audience here. So I'll tell you what. Let's roll a clip here because now I'm just focused on this. Let's do that. Do we have that ready? So just go ahead and roll this while I send this to Savannah. This is back from April when Jeff Younger came on the War Room with us before the judge gagged him.
In my opinion, my son's being abused, and I consider it sexual abuse. And I have to watch it every time I FaceTime
him. All right, ladies and gentlemen, my next guest in studio is Jeff Younger. The website where you can get all the information on his story and what he's in studio to talk about is savejames.com. Savejames.com. And these are the types of interviews I do that's it's kind of like a root canal. You don't want to do it, and it's tough. And I'm sure for you, Jeff, this is not a subject that you enjoy talking about and not a subject or a battle that you enjoy having to embark on. But here's where we're at. You've got a 6-year-old son, and you and your wife have been divorced now for 2 years. And so there's a bit of a custody battle. I'm not sure how relevant that is to what you're dealing with. You can speak to that. But the story is that your ex-wife is trying to send your 6-year-old son through a transsexual transition. And she's currently had the social transition completed, you were telling me. And then there's other phases she's moving on to. So why don't you just kind of briefly tell the story and how you've gotten to this point of wanting to come here on InfoWars and tell the story, why you have the website savejames.com.
Well, it really started when James was two. I started noticing we were still living together. She hadn't filed for divorce. I started noticing odd things. She would put him into timeouts and say things like, the monsters only eat boys. Don't be a boy. And I was a stay-at-home dad at that time. I worked from home.
And so this is this is the first sign of any odd behavior?
Yeah, he's two. So eventually, as he gets closer to three, she filed for divorce.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, honestly, I don't want to put Jeff Younger in any potential trouble here because that's back from April. I want to be clear. before, because they'll try to destroy him with this, and they'll say, "Oh my gosh, he broke his gag order, you know, contempt of court or something." No, that's from April. So before Media Matters or some other hate group out there, some other political terrorist organization out there like the SPLC wants to publish fake news saying Jeff Younger breaks gag order, goes on Infowars, that's back from April before he was gagged. Now, we have linked to that video. We've reposted that video on band.video on the War Room band.video page. So if you want to go back and watch that interview from April that's so timely now, you can go do that. Band.video, click on the War Room tab. We've put it up there. Now, I've got the reviews on the mother who's trying to do this to the kid, which in my view is child abuse. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, folks, we're talking about genital mutilation here. I'm sorry, it's just, it's kind of heavy. So let's pull up these reviews. And this is the mother of the boy. Look at this. Dr. Ann George Gulas, a 1.7 star review for 228 reviews. And you can go back for months and years, and it literally is documented here how she's bullied and intimidated people. Here's one right here. Worst experience ever. All she wanted to do was explore how my son might want to be a girl. I mean, that's literally from a review from 2 months ago, folks. I mean, so you can go read all this stuff. There's a new one, but there's 2 months ago, years ago, and there's some positive ones, obviously. I mean, you know, you're a 1.7 star review, so it's not all one star. But you can just see it, folks. So people have been documenting this for a while. But it's pretty odd that you have Google reviews talking about how this doctor is trying to tell parents that their boy needs to be a girl. I mean, look at this one. This is like a whole book. So that's just there for your consumption if you want to look at that. And by the way, I'm going to link to that when I release my press release later this evening. So there you go. All right, that's going to be at band.video if you want to watch that interview from back in April. But it's pretty wild, isn't it? It's now considered normal to say, oh, my child is 5 years old and wants a gender transition. No, that's not normal. In fact, I would doubt any child goes through that thought process on their own volition. And the fact you have courts now saying, oh, if the mother wants to change the boy's sex, then so be it. And what it is, it's about siding with that. It's about siding with the ideology. It might not even necessarily be about mother-father. Because if it was the father that wanted to castrate the boy and turn it into a girl, then it would be the father at the advantage. And the mother would be bad for saying, no, that's a boy. We're going to keep it a boy. We're not going to abuse the child like that.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Well, it's good to see the Republicans aren't going to take the Soviet-style secret impeachment proceedings led by Adam Schiff lying down.
We just went inside to try to hear the testimony of the Deputy Assistant Secretary, mind you, of Defense, which clearly should be under the purview of the Armed Services Committee. Chairman Schiff immediately left with the witness. We are trying to have some transparency to this process. I represent nearly a million Floridians who are asking me my thoughts on this process, and yet I can't relay to them anything except what's being leaked to the media. It is really a travesty. And furthermore, now we're being told that members who are trying to have some element of transparency to something that is so critical and so important to our democracy, now we're being threatened with ethics violations.
You should be outraged if you're an American at what's happening here. You should be allowed to confront your accusers. This is being held behind closed doors for a reason, because they don't want you to see what the witnesses are like. Let me give you an example. Recently, we had the Mueller. Mr. Mueller came in to give a report to Judiciary. You were there. You saw it. The American people saw it. You know why Mr. Mueller's report fell apart and why we knew that there was nothing there? Because we got to observe Mr. Mueller himself testify. Because when he was asked questions, you could see he didn't understand what had happened in his own investigation. You saw him flipping through pages. You get to see who is accusing you. When you're denied that, you might as well be living in the former Soviet Union.
Why is Adam Schiff the only one who knows? Go read the complaint. Over 4 months, more than half a dozen U.S. officials formed the basis for this complaint from the whistleblower. Who are these more than half a dozen people? I think you'd all want to know that. I want to know that. I think the American people want to know that. Only one person in the entire Congress, 435 members, only one person knows who the whistleblower is, and more importantly, who those people supposedly had firsthand knowledge. Only Adam Schiff knows. That doesn't seem quite right to me. I would think you would all want to know, and the press, and let the American people know. I certainly want to know. I think the other 434 members of Congress want to know that. Only Adam Schiff knows.
This may be within the House rules. That's not the question. The question is it a good idea to try to impeach the president in secret hearings, or in hearings that not only members of Congress, but the American people can't witness or participate in or watch?
Following the protest in the face of Schiff and Company's unnatural act, Democrats complained that the secret hearing had been infiltrated by the Russians, utilizing the electronics carried in by the angered House Republicans.
In short, they have also compromised the security of the room. Dozens of members brought in electronics, and they not only brought in their unauthorized bodies, they may have brought in the Russians and the Chinese with electronics into a secured space, which will require that the space at some point in time be sanitized. Members also, even after being asked by the Sergeant of Arms to remove their electronics, some still have not cooperated.
They're not tweeting with their phones. I just left there. I promise you there's no mobile devices in there.
Is this
the now, they may be in the hallway outside, but in the skiff, they're not in there.
To add to Schiff's totalitarian twisting of our republic's mechanisms, House Democrats are threatening to use a rarely utilized provision in the annual financial services spending bill to put a hold on non-compliant Trump administration officials' paychecks, as Roll Call reported, referred to as Section 713, that says any federal employee who prohibits or prevents or attempts or threatens to prohibit or prevent another official from communicating with lawmakers shouldn't be paid during that time. Meanwhile, Bloomberg News and the Mockingbird Media are pushing their version of events that are occurring behind closed doors, claiming that former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine William Taylor has explosive, game-changing evidence to prove quid pro quo occurred, when in fact, Taylor is merely another Democrat D.C. insider who flippantly texted about his anti-Trump perceptions with the U.S. ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is why InfoWars is so powerful. The full John Bound report is at Band.Video Video, breaking it all down. The second hour of the InfoWars.com War Room. I haven't even gotten focused enough to get through this news. So I'm really going to try to focus here, get through all the news, and open up the phone lines for you. Any of the topics we've discussed are fair game. As usual, we do ask for first-time callers to get in the line first, because a lot of times the regulars light up the phone lines before anybody else can even get through, because we only have, I think, like, six or seven lines here,
as opposed to the Alex show that has like 30. But hey, you know what? If you go to InfoWarsStore.com and purchase some of the great supplements there, or the air filter or the water filters or the survival food or the survival gear or the brand new hat, which is a very nice hat, maybe we can expand our phone lines here and we'll have 20 phone lines. But of course it takes money, folks, and so we're funded by you at InfoWarsStore.com. The Everything Must Go sale happening still, up to 70% off, up to 75% off, really. The thing should be changed, but we'll say up to 70% off supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. Free shipping store-wide. Now, there's the new hat right there. Let's go ahead and pull that up, guys. Brand new designer hat. Now, I realized this, and I don't know if this was the plan, but you notice the brand new hat, it's okay to be okay, politically incorrect designer snapback hat. Now, you've noticed, if you are seeing this hat right now, the hand, which is giving the A-OK symbol, which the ADL now says is racist, it gets banned off Instagram. You get banned from Wrigley Field if you put it up. Of course, it was the reverse one. It wasn't even the A-OK. It was the gotcha one. And then you get to punch them in the arm. So they're a little confused on that. Nonetheless, the hand is black. So how are they going to deal with that? So we've put a black hand giving the... Oh, I'm being told that's an indigenous hand. I don't know. I think I want to go with it's a black hand. I'm going to go with it's an indigenous black hand. So it's an indigenous black hand giving the white power logo, which of course is fake news, but that's why we troll them with the hat. But it's a nice hat. You're going to like the hat. I don't know. The other hat that people loved so much was the InfoWars Gadsden Snake hat, which we were sold out for the longest time. We have those back in stock. So we'll see if this one can compete with that top seller. But hey, it's a nice A-OK logo right there on a designer snapback hat. So get yours today at InfoWarsStore.com. And remember, free shipping store-wide at InfoWarsStore.com. There's another one, the Don't Tread on Me black hat. I was actually talking about the one with the neon InfoWars patch. That's like the... That's a nice hat too, though. That's the hat you kind of just like to throw on and go fishing, you know? That's a nice one, too. Limited availability, the Don't Tread on Me hat. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you so much for your support, folks. Cannot thank you enough. All right, let me just do this before I get into the news. Let me do some of these clips. Let's go to, first, let's go to clip 19. So Project Veritas with James O'Keefe is just incredible. And so O'Keefe has totally exposed CNN. So he went to CNN headquarters in New York, tried to get comment from Jake Tapper. He wouldn't comment. Jake Tapper, oh my God, that guy is one of the biggest fops in the history of television media. You wouldn't even believe it if you met him. But then he found out that CNN has a CNN citizens town hall going on today. And so James O'Keefe figured, oh, I'm a citizen. I can get in. And do you think CNN let James O'Keefe in the building? Here's how that went.
We're going to try to get into the CNN citizen events today. CNN citizen. Let's see what they say. May I get into this event?
If you're on the list to come in, sure.
Let's, can I see if I'm on the list? I think I'm on the list.
No.
What's that? How do you know that?
Just looking at
me. Okay, just looking at me?
Don't you love it? That arrogant security guard just looking at you. He's like, just looking at me? Yeah, you white male. We don't allow your kind at CNN.
And then here's what was going on inside with Jeff Zucker, who Project Veritas and James O'Keefe has fully exposed. Here's Jeff Zucker inside projecting what CNN is onto Fox News with Brian Stelter.
What did Shep's departure mean for Fox in your mind?
Well, I mean, look, I don't know that I want to spend that much time analyzing another.
By the way, he said he'd hire Shep Smith, so they probably are.
But I think it you know, but to answer your question, I will say that I think I was not that surprised. Mm. You said it caught you off guard. Look, I think it had become untenable for somebody there who was a truth teller and who set out on a regular basis to hold those in power accountable. That is not something that organization does. That is not something that is in full force there. And it's not even in, you know, half force or
hey, they say they have dozens of great journalists.
Yeah, well, you repeat that line a lot, and I think it's one of the mistakes you make in your journalism. And I'm Ooh. Serious about this. Yeah, because, and you know, I've, you know.
I mean, hold on a second. Time out. Pause it. I'm sorry. I got to have a little gallows humor here. Can we just rewind this back 15 seconds? I need to get a. Just give me a second here, okay? Just rewind this back 15 seconds, and then push play here. Go ahead.
And it's not even in, you know, half force or.
Hey, they say they
just pause it. Pause it right here. Hit it. Yes, give me full screen. Just look at Brian Stelter, please. I mean, can you just look at this dweeb? Oh my gosh, man. These people are so pathetic, dude. It's hilarious. Honestly, it is hilarious. They're both sitting up there, legs crossed like women. I mean, Brian Stelter is the most effeminate man I've ever seen in my life.
I kind of like those red socks he's got on, though. Huh. I'm sorry. It's just hilarious. Brian Stelter up there LARPing like a news anchor. Literally. I mean, the guy is he's pretending to be a news anchor. But here's the funny thing. I'm pretty sure he goes on to claim to be a journalist. No, Zucker even says it. He says, well, this is one of the things I disagree with in your journalism. Journalism? What journalism does Brian Stelter engage in? Like, I don't even claim to be a journalist, really. But I engage in more journalism than Stelter. I actually go out on the street. I actually file real reports. I actually develop real stories. I actually break stories. What has Brian Stelter ever broke? Oh, Russian collusion? All right, go back to the clip.
You repeat that line a lot, and I think it's one of the mistakes you make in your journalism. And I'm serious about this. Yeah, because, and you know, I believe that...
Tickle me, Elmo!
Listen, are there a handful of really good journalists in that organization? Sure. Is there one or two really good anchors at that organization? Sure. But that doesn't make it a news organization, and it doesn't make it doesn't make it a journalistic enterprise. Listen, it's, you know, I've said before, it's akin to state-run TV. I think it's morphed into conspiracy TV.
Wow.
And
pause it.
It's not a place.
That's literally CNN, folks. CNN hires the former CIA people. CNN hires the Clappers and the Brennans and the Philip Mudds. And I mean, so. I mean, Anderson Cooper, like, CNN is literally the state-run media, the conspiracy theorists pushing Russian collusion. This is unbelievable projection here. Beyond, I mean, this is like Adam Schiff-level projection. Here, finish the clip.
Somebody like Chef Smith could work.
Conspiracy TV, meaning the shows like Sean Hannity's.
Among others.
So you think many of the shows are conspiracy TV?
I don't think it's a journalistic organization.
See, we disagree about this, and that's a good thing.
Yes, well, no.
CNN is, you know, Van Jones, the Russian nothing burger.
Their primetime shows.
The news side and the opinion side.
There is no difference, and I think that I don't see it that way, and I know that you report it that way a lot. I think you're wrong.
You think I'm wrong? Well, what is the... So give me some
Humpty
evidence.
Humpty Dumpty Brian Stelter. CNN is an abomination of reality.
Infowars.com/show.
Oh, there's just something about rock and roll music, isn't there? Big shout out to Reverend Horton Heat for putting on a hell of a show last night, huh, guys? How about that? I know they're big fans of the show. We're big fans of them, so we appreciate the show they put on last night here in Austin, Texas. Really enjoyed watching that and talking and meeting
Jim Heath and Lance, their new piano player. Great show from them last night. I don't know. I'm a red-blooded American. I like rock music. What do you know? Let me really do what I promised to do and get down and dirty into this news just right now. Now, this is wild. Down and dirty. I didn't intend on this segue, but speaking of down and dirty, did you see the latest Democrat lawmaker, Katie Hill? I mean, folks, this is insane. Now, I'm not one to judge what you do in your private life. And in fact, quite frankly, I don't even care if politicians engage in debauchery. As long as they uphold their oath to the Constitution, they have a good head on their shoulder, and their policies work. But this is some weird stuff. Katie Hill, a Democrat congresswoman from California, Katie Hill is seen photographed totally naked with a smoking bong showing off a Nazi tattoo. Now, can you imagine if any Republican, I mean, again, okay, you're smoking weed. I really don't care, quite frankly. I don't care if politicians want to smoke weed, do cocaine, do whatever the hell you want. I think they should all take a drug test. There's her Nazi era cross, the Iron Cross there. But again, if a Republican had a Nazi era tattoo, it'd be like top story ever. Not to mention the smoking bong and the naked and then the weird sexual affairs and perversion that she's engaged in. Now, again, I don't care. I don't even care. Like I said, I don't even care if politicians engage in this type of behavior, quite frankly. To me, it's all about policy and you know, philosophy, ideology. But, hey, you know, there is a certain level of character you would expect, but only if you're a conservative. See, if you're a Democrat, you can just engage in total debauchery and do whatever the hell you want, and the media won't say boo. But, and she's, you know, on a wife-sharing site. So clearly a swinger or something, engaged in sexual perversion. Again, I don't even care, but notice the media totally silent. If this was a Republican, it'd be the biggest story. And so now she's the first female lawmaker to face House ethics inquiry over her sexual relationships. But, you know, here's the funny thing. Ladies and gentlemen, it's no secret. I'm not a choir boy here, okay? And let's just say in college, I studied the bottom of a few bottles and a few kegs, okay? And I've even done my fair share of psychedelic drugs. And so I'm not sitting here in judgment of Katie Hill. I'm sitting here in judgment of the media that won't make a big story of this, but if this was Rand Paul, if this was Dan Crenshaw, if this was any Republican, it'd be the biggest story. They're a Nazi. Somehow they'd spin it to them being a rapist somehow. But here's my point. You see the stuff with Ed Buck. You see the stuff with Bill Clinton. You see the stuff with Jeffrey Epstein. You read the stories, all the Democrats that go there, the weird Podesta art. I won't even get into the quote-unquote wives of, you know, the Chuck Schumers and the Barack Obamas. But I'm sitting here thinking, I'm looking at this. I was a pretty wild guy. You know, I've had my fair share of debauchery in my life. I'm not trying to sit in judgment, but I'm just, at a certain level, don't you wonder, like, what are these people doing? Who's taking pictures of themselves naked with a bong? Who's going out and putting themselves out on these swinger websites or wife share? Who's flying on the Lolita Express? Who's going to a pedophile island? Who's promoting sexually perverted art and Jeffrey Dahmer murder art porn? The Democrats! I mean, so it's just like weird, man. I just don't know anybody that does this stuff. I'm not even trying to be facetious. I don't know people that engage in this type of behavior. I really have no idea. And I guess that's because I don't hang out with the D.C. elite. I don't hang out with the Democrat elite. I don't hang out with the liberal progressive elite. Because it seems to be they're the ones engaging in all this behavior. It's really odd, isn't it? It's really odd to me. We'll see if the media reports any of that. Tim Ryan, who has ended his presidential campaign. And so that's the first time anybody's ever heard of Tim Ryan. Let's jump over here. So again, I've been documenting this every day, but they continue to do it. Trump deserves a Nobel Peace Prize for what he's done in Syria and what he's done in North Korea, folks. He deserves two, quite frankly. Now, Obama launches 8 different wars. It brags about how he drones people, brags about how he engaged in shadow diplomacy with Russia. Biden brags about his gangster mafioso behavior. They get all the peace prizes. Trump is actually really engaging in diplomacy, really working for peace deals, and getting it done. And you notice how Syria doesn't get to have anything. Like, Syria's the bad guy all of a sudden. Assad's the bad guy again. Well, does Syria not have sovereignty? Does Syria not get to decide what it does with its land? So there's this weird double standard. It's like, oh, the poor Palestinians. What about the Syrians? And I don't even want to get involved in the ins and outs of all the Middle East BS. I'm sick of it. But here's the headline in AP. Syria's Assad gets a prize with U.S. withdrawal, Russia deal. So again, if you've been following our coverage of this, folks, anybody informed knows what's going on. This was Russia's fight all the way. Russia should be the middleman in this deal because they can engage in diplomacy with Turkey and with Syria, and it's more effective that way. And they're sick of U.S. intervention, and so there's a bitterness there. So for Trump to take our chips out of the pot, which don't belong there to begin with, already making deals with Turkey and Russia and Syria, and then saying, here you go. And so now everything starts to make sense. And yeah, there's going to be some struggle. There's going to be some movements politically and geopolitically, but it's where it needs to be. So Turkey's making its moves, and Trump has kept it to calm, really. Syria's making its moves. Kurds are making deals with Syria. Russia's moving in to engage in the overall diplomacy. Geopolitically and where the power structures lie, that's how it should have been all along. It's been the U.S. engaging in shadow diplomacy, proxy wars, fake news, lies, and corruption that has been muddying the water, making it impossible for a peace deal to be done intentionally. Trump's not doing that. And so now there's real peace being dealt. And then the AP and all these other people every day act like, oh my gosh, the Trump going for peace in the Middle East, it's so bad. The diplomacy happening, it's so bad. It should be war. There should be bloodshed. It's like Turkey's not invading like people are making it out to be. They have to lie about what's happening on the news, roll footage from a gun range in Kentucky. They make all, but it's all about, oh my gosh, Syria's getting peace and Turkey's making deals and Russia's engaging. And these are the same people that used to complain about U.S. intervention all day long. Now all of a sudden they want it because Trump's actually negotiating peace. He's actually getting it done in the Middle East. They'll never give him credit.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. Contains subject matter that might trigger liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
All right, I don't want to tease you anymore, so I'm going to give out the phone number just to assure that I at least take some calls today. That just puts pressure on me when I see your names on the board. So, phone lines open up now. 888-201-2244. Anything I've discussed so far is fair game. I just ask that you keep it to topics that we've discussed. So if you're calling on a topic I haven't discussed, I'm going to ask you either to not call in or we're just going to drop you. So make sure it's something on topic. But the number is 888-201-2244. And again, the line's already lit up before I give out the number. So I ask regular callers, if you would please leave lines open for first-time or new callers to try to get in today, because it's frustrating for a first-time caller when they call in and they can never get in, then they never try again. So I want to hear from some other voices out there. 888-201-2244. So guys, if it's a regular caller, just say, hey, you know, we're going to move on and make sure it's topical today. Not that regulars can't get in. It's just, I want to hear from some new people here. Okay. This is so wild. So Democrat Congresswoman Katie Hill is having office sex parties, swinging posing naked on sex websites and dating websites, and it's all happening inside of Congress. This same lady protested Brett Kavanaugh, Stop Kavanaugh. The same lady campaigns for Kamala Harris.
I'm sorry. I'm telling you, though. Oh, my gosh.
It's kind of like when Trump says lynching, and then it's just like, I mean, folks. See, there's this thing where certain terminology or phrasing gets demonized by modern day Christians because it's considered like blasphemous or something. But folks, we're living in God's simulation. Like, God created the simulation. That's not like, when you say that, that's not like you're blaspheming God. No, God created everything. Like, the signs are all around you. It's crazy. I can't even focus because it's so insane. This is going to get no coverage. And again, I don't even care. Katie Hill can be having, she could be a porn star for all I care, doing, you know, run trains like whatever Blasey Ford claimed or whatever. I don't care. There's no consistency in the media when it comes to covering these people. And there's no consistency in character when it comes to judging these people. And then there's no consistency or really, there's no results that are positive when it comes to policy. But it's almost like that doesn't even matter now. But think about this. She's on all these dating websites. By the way, so was Hunter Biden. I'm pretty sure Russia and Ukraine tried to blackmail him over that. You don't think China and Russia and all these countries that are already spying on everything you do, jacked in with the technology, you don't think that they can get blackmail on these people? Guaranteed. I'm not saying Katie Hill was blackmailed, but I'm not saying she wasn't. You don't think that goes on? And just imagine with the people like Ed Buck, friends with Adam Schiff. Just imagine people friends with Anthony Weiner, friends with Jeffrey Epstein, flew to his island. Can you imagine the blackmail? And they don't even care. Once they've been blackmailed, they don't even, because it's not even blackmail. It's like, hey, we're in control of you, but just do what we say and we'll make sure you're in power and filthy rich. And then these people are spineless, moralless anyways. So okay, fine. I mean, look at LeBron James. I'm going to try to move on. It's just crazy how fraud the Democrats are just such frauds. It's unbelievable. All right. Let's aggregate these calls. I'm going to do a news blitz here. Vice President Pence recently spoke out against the NBA, said it's akin to a wholly owned subsidiary of Beijing. He also blasts Nike. And, you know, I'm thinking about this again. If one NBA player would just take a stand and be patriotic, I mean, hats off to Shaq for kind of hedging, but also saying, hey, we should stand for free speech. What's going on in China is not good. He said that on TNT, which is maybe the second biggest NBA televisor, if not the first. And so who is going to step up as a professional athlete in the NBA or anywhere? Or who's going to step up as a manufacturer of apparel and is going to stand up against everything being done in China? Is anybody going to do that? It's wide open for anybody to take. It's wide open. Just sitting there, just waiting. Does anybody want to take it? Does anybody want to be the hero? Does anybody want to be a legend? Or are all the athletes cowards? Which I don't believe that is the case, but I don't know. Very, very strange. You know what? Where's my video list? Let me do this. Let's have clip 17 ready to go here, guys. Some of the headlines. Quantum leap in computing as Google claims supremacy. USCTO, how America achieved quantum supremacy. But that's kind of fake news. Google sold out to China. China has the quantum supremacy, not the U.S. And then, and we're going to go to Sundar Pichai here, the Google CEO, frontman. Look at this. Spotify is giving premium subscribers a free Google Home Mini. Isn't that nice? So subscribe and get your little spy device in your home. Isn't that lovely? You know, because people are learning not to sleep with the phone and the cell phone in the room. So, you know, put the spy device in there. It's not a phone. Or you might leave your phone upstairs when you're in the kitchen. We got to make sure we can spy on you there, too. They're, folks, they don't give this stuff away without a back door. They don't give this stuff away without an agenda. But here's Sundar Pichai bragging about how Google has just accomplished quantum supremacy.
The big news is that Google researchers have achieved an incredible breakthrough in quantum computing.
So it's, I was probably reading this. I was looking at my video list, but it's just Sundar Pichai. This is all
They've
fake.
Demonstrated with the quantum computer that it can
do computation
in seconds, what would take the world's fastest supercomputer years.
But what are they solving?
Years,
they don't
the
tell
same
you.
Calculation.
Quantum supremacy. And here's Sundar Pichai posing as if he knows what's going on. All just posing for cameras right here. Because it's all about to come out with the AI, and they've already had this, folks. They're just rolling it out now to make it trendy and act like it's in the U.S.'s control. It's not. They've already had this. China's already been using it.
Quantum computing gives us a chance to not only achieve many practical use cases and help make the world better in
like
a way
what?
That we cannot do just with classical computers alone.
How?
But it also allows us to help understand the universe in a deeper way.
How's that, though? The director of IBM called the claim of quantum supremacy misleading. So who knows what's really going on? But I don't know. This could be Google, kind of like a fake moon landing or something, like just to put it out there, like, oh, we reached it, and then get all the other tech companies in a tizzy. Or maybe they've already accomplished this years ago, and now they're just getting ready to mainline it and roll it out and act like it's patriotic, like, oh, the U.S. has quantum computing, yay, when it's literally all being rolled out in China. The whole thing that they're using it for is spying on you.
Infowars.com/show.
All right, I'm going to take your phone calls as promised. 888-201-2244. Just keep it topical with anything we've discussed today, which is a wide array, so plenty of topics to choose from. And remember, the Everything Must Go sale happening at InfowarsStore.com right now, folks. Up to 75% off some of the products and supplements at InfowarsStore.com. Free shipping store-wide as well. So, if you don't have an air filter yet from InfowarsStore.com, get the Alexa Pure Breeze. It's 40% off plus free shipping. If you don't have a water filter yet, go to InfowarsStore.com, get our water filters, take advantage of the free shipping. Don't breathe the polluted air in your home. Don't drink the polluted water in your home. Just think about the guests. Think about your family, everybody that comes over. You don't want them breathing in that toxic air, drinking that toxic water. Get the air filters and the water filters from InfowarsStore.com. Free shipping store-wide. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's start with Martin in Ohio. Go ahead, Martin.
Hey, Owen. I just had a comment on the Google reviews. Just in the interest of transparency, I do happen to know that there are a bunch, like, in the past 2 or 3 days that are part of a campaign from a meme app, iFunny. So those may or may not be completely relevant. But before that, I know she was at a 2.3 stars instead of a 1.7. So just
what was that app you said?
iFunny. There's a huge conservative subculture on there. They had like
so are they do they have they found a way to like beat the quality review system of Google?
Yeah, basically they just go and leave a bunch of reviews, and so I know a lot of like a lot of the stories probably from the past couple of days are not necessarily accurate. But she was at a at least as far as I saw 2.3 stars before that.
Still not very impressive, but that's good information to have there. I was not aware of that app, and I know that Google does, like, if you want to review a restaurant, they make you, basically, the only way you can even do it is if you book a reservation or go through Google somehow. So they try to keep those reviews verified, but obviously people have found a way to work around it, you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else, Martin?
Nope, that was it. Just a quick comment on that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for clarifying that for me, Martin. All right, let's go to Cody in Canada. Go ahead, Cody.
Hey, Owen, how's it going?
It's good, thank you.
Good. I want to start off by saying that I use the water filters. I'm just popping in the car right now. I've got the bumper stickers on the back of the car.
Woo! A brave one.
Pretty brave, not afraid at all. And I grow cannabis, so I use your product with my medical cannabis to achieve, I would say, the optimum state of health.
So wait a second. Hold on. This is breaking. Are you telling me that the water filters, you're telling me if you use water filtered by the water filters at InfoWarsStore.com, you get a better crop of marijuana?
I wouldn't say that, to be honest, because I actually don't filter my creek water for my marijuana. The fresh creek water with all the minerals in it for the crop is the best. But for our drinking water, I take the creek water and I put it in the Alexa Pure that I keep inside the fridge. So it's nice and cold, too. It's the best, like, the best water, hands down. And I just want to call you out a bit because you... Are you still there? Yeah, you're still there. Okay, so I just want to call you out because you always talk about how there's this new weaponized marijuana and all this stuff, and it's just a crock of shit. And
Hold up. First of all, we got to dump that. Second of all, have I ever talked about weaponized marijuana? I know Alex talks about that. I don't think I've ever talked about that. I talked about people cutting their marijuana or their cartridges with vitamin E that they've been using to demonize the whole vaping industry. And then somehow that becomes something to do with tobacco and nicotine when it has nothing to do with it. But I don't think I've ever talked about weaponizing weed. It is stronger than it's ever been before. Soros pushes it. That's a fact. But I don't think I've ever talked about weaponized weed.
Business than San Francisco.
Anything else, Cody? Okay. So Cody decided to hang up. I don't think I've ever talked about... Have I ever talked about weaponized weed? I don't think so. I know Alex talked about it. Yeah, but see, that's the difference. When I was in high school, the weed was already really powerful. So, like, the weed that people used to smoke, I'm telling you, the weed that I was smoking in high school is the same weed that is still out today. But the weed that people that were, that are, you know, 40, 50, that they saw and were smoking in college and high school, that's totally different. That's considered, like, downtown brown, like wet Reggie now, like bad. Swag. Yeah. Be like, InfoWars, War Room, potheads, call in. It's like, well, I'm just telling you the truth here. Not encouraging any drug use. Let's go to Jason in California. Go ahead, Jason. Get me back on track here.
Hey, Owen. Thank you for taking my call. Used to be very skeptical about you guys, but Savage Fest and Common Sense kind of took over from there, and I became woke in the right way. I mean, you would have to be kind of naive to think China, before this whole thing with the NBA, didn't have some sort of influence over politics and big tech here. And like you were saying, I feel like the person and the NBA player who does stand up to China and stand up for, you know, pro-democracy and the protesters over there, they would get a lot more respect and support than the LeBron James, or as you like to call him now, just the L.
Well, you can't spell LeBron without the L. But here's the new thing. This is what will stick. LeBron James is now the most hated NBA player of all time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of people already hated him from going from Cleveland to Miami.
Yeah, yeah. Cleveland fans burn his jersey. Miami fans burn his jersey. NBA fans already hate him because he was the crowned king before he ever won a title. The NBA's given him everything, and he still bitches like a little baby. But all that aside, it would have been a debate. Now that he is anti-American, pro-China, it's no debate. LeBron James is the most hated NBA player ever.
Yeah, absolutely. And I already bought my Christmas Day ticket to see the Rockets versus the Warriors. I bought two for me and my friend. I'll have my pro-democracy China shirt on, a sign. I'm hoping to get kicked out because then that will be more powerful than just them taking my sign away. And then just the last thing, I don't know if you saw, but Edward Snowden was on the Joe Rogan Experience the other day.
Yeah, I've got some of those clips. I don't know if I'll have time to get to it, but yeah.
Yeah, if you could, just real quick, what's your opinion on him? Because I haven't really watched you that much over time. And then other than
Do you
that,
mean my opinion on Snowden or Rogan?
Snowden, like his situation and stuff against our government. And, other than that, thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jason. Here's the thing. Snowden, my opinion on Snowden, I don't know how to, because it's really irrelevant, my opinion on Snowden. I mean, really, it's the information that Snowden put out that's really important and that kind of broke the dam, I think, on whistleblowers on the intelligence spy grids. So I think that, Edward Snowden is a real whistleblower. And I would say, you kind of expect there's going to be some backlash when you put that deep level of intel out there like Snowden did, and you kind of show the game plan. And he doesn't really have the cover of a WikiLeaks when he comes out as just an individual. Like WikiLeaks releases the Vault 7. Snowden pretty much told you that was going on already. So as far as an opinion on Snowden as a person, to me, it's irrelevant. I think the information he put out is 100% accurate. I think he's a real whistleblower. And, as far as the treatment is concerned, again, it's tough to say. You do expect that kind of treatment when you put out that information as a whistleblower. But, I think America needs to measure it and say, is this a hero or a traitor? And if you had to make a decision, I would say definitely a hero. Not necessarily a traitor. If you're calling out illegal spying, which is what he is, and that's what he was talking about on the Rogan show too, I don't think that that's a traitor to the country. I think that he did what he believed was best as far as the American people being informed. As a person, though, I don't, to me, he doesn't even have like a personal character that he comes out and tries to inflate himself. He just put out the information that he knew as a contractor working with the intelligence agencies. All right. Let's see. What do I want to do when we come back? Probably just listen to rock music, honestly. All right. No, we'll come back. We'll play a video clip. And maybe we'll play something. In fact, we'll play a little clip from Snowden on the other side. And then George Papadopoulos is joining me. That's going to be awesome. Listen to that.
Infowars.com/show. The fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
By the way, did you guys see me do a standing backflip 360 twist last night before I threw out the first pitch of the World Series? Did you guys see me do... Oh, no, that was the Olympic champion, Simone Biles. Sorry, I thought that was me. I was delusional for a second. All right, all jokes aside, there is some MLB news that I'm going to get to, actually. But let's go to this clip of Ed Snowden first on Joe Rogan talking about all the illegal data confiscation that's happening right now by the U.S. government.
You were intentionally
This was intentionally concealed from us, right? The government did it. They used classification. Companies did it. They intentionally didn't talk about it. They denied these things were going. They said, you agreed to this, and you didn't agree to nothing like this. I'm sorry, right? They go, we put that terms of service page up, and you clicked that. You clicked a button that said, I agree, because you were trying to open an account so you could talk to your friends. You were trying to get driving directions. You were trying to get an email account. You weren't trying to agree to some 600-page legal form that even if you read, you wouldn't understand. And it doesn't matter even if you did understand, because one of the very first paragraphs in it said, this agreement can be changed at any time unilaterally without your consent by the company, right? They have built a legal paradigm that presumes records collected about us do not belong to us. This is sort of one of the core principles on which mass surveillance, from the government's perspective in the United States, is legal. And you have to understand that all the stuff we talked about today, the government says everything they do is legal, right? And they go, so it's fine. Our perspective as a public should be, well, that's actually the problem, because this isn't okay. The scandal isn't how they're breaking the law. The scandal is that they don't have to break the law. This is something that people don't get. They go, oh, well, it's data collection, right? They're exploiting data. This is data about human lives. It is data about people. These records are about you. It's not data that's being exploited. It's people that are being exploited. It's not data that's being manipulated. It's you that's being manipulated. And this is something that I think a lot of people are beginning to understand. The problem is the companies and the governments are still pretending they don't understand or disagreeing with this. And this reminds me of something that one of my old friends, John Perigbaum.
Now, again, folks, this is Edward Snowden on Rogan, and we've talked about this before, how there needs to be a legal precedent when it comes to agreeing to the terms and service, because that's how they get away with everything. And it's nice to see Edward Snowden raising that issue on Joe Rogan's podcast. Let's take a phone call real quick before we get George Papadopoulos on the phone. Let's go to Mark in Florida. Go ahead, Mark. Yes, Mark, go ahead. All right. Hey, Mark, I don't know what the deal is, but we can barely hear you. I'm going to give it one more go to see if your connection is good. Mark, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, we got you. Go ahead.
Go ahead. All right. So history repeats itself, and I completely get what you're going through, you know, with Julian Assange. I mean, I wish Seth Rich was around, because I'm sure he would have a story to tell. Obviously, given the fact that, you know, Julian Assange said, hey, anybody finds this, 20K. So with that put aside, history repeats itself. And if we just look back, and I heard a couple of things from some other episodes and a whole nine yards from, you know, other podcasts and what have you. And it really seems we're kind of going through the late 50s and 60s again. I mean, we live in a cynical environment. The environment, us, you know, the climate, everything's cyclical. So at this point, it's kind of...
Are you meaning to say cyclical?
Yes. And everything's on the wall. Everything's on the wall. It's just repeating itself. And it does this over and over and over again. And
well, there's no doubt about that. But there's going to be something here soon. Whoa! What happened to Nancy Pelosi? She finally is showing her true face. Wow. Nancy Pelosi is the Joker, the demented one, the demon. That really accurately depicts who Nancy Pelosi is. Doesn't that really fit her, though? I mean, seriously, like, the only thing that might fit her more is a pitchfork and horns. All right, we're about to be joined by George Papadopoulos. In fact, guys, what is his status? We got him on the line right now? This is great. Finally able to be joined by George Papadopoulos. Folks, again, we're able to get all these great guests, have all these live broadcasts. Obviously, you know about the censorship. You know what they're trying to do to destroy us and get us off air. Thanks to your support at InfoWarsStore.com, we're still able to do this. Big sponsors at big specials at InfoWarsStore.com right now. Free shipping store-wide. The everything must go sale. Take advantage of the 8-pack power stack on a very deep discount. Take advantage of free shipping with big items like water filters and air filters. It's at InfoWarsStore.com. It makes everything we do here possible, including getting our great guests on the air, like George Papadopoulos, who joins me now. So, George, I know you're busy running around, and I'm glad that you could take time out of your busy schedule to join us here on the phone, so I won't waste time. Let's get right into it. You see everything that Adam Schiff is doing, and so first, I want to get your opinion on this. To me, Adam Schiff is projecting onto Trump everything that's actually happening to Obama and his administration members like Clapper and Brennan, where more whistleblowers are coming forward against Obama. So Schiff says, oh, we've got so many whistleblowers, we have to extend our investigation into Trump. No, that's what Durham is having to do because more whistleblowers are coming forward against the crimes of Obama. Do you agree with that analysis?
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on. It's always a pleasure. I absolutely agree with that analysis. And, you know, I can't give names of particular people who are involved in my case, who I believe have come forward and are actually whistleblowers for Durham and Barr's investigation. But what happened in 2016 and 2017 and all this interference that was being run by Brennan, Clapper, and I think by Obama himself, that is all coming out. And what I think is going on with and how the Russia hoax has now metastasized into this Ukraine situation, it's because the deep state understands that Barr and Durham aren't joking. They're not playing around. They're not going traveling the world sightseeing. They're getting to the bottom of how these individuals at the top of the Obama administration were using foreign allies to basically interfere in the democratic process, stack the deck against Trump, and assure Clinton will win. The whistleblowers are coming out. Like you said, I agree completely with you. The foreign governments are now cooperating. And these so-called deep state operatives who are trying to sabotage Donald Trump, especially regarding his very innocent call to the Ukrainian president, this is an attempt to strike a preemptive blow against the findings which are coming out very soon with Horowitz and eventually Barr and Durham.
Well, and there's kind of this thing happening right now, George, where instead of the fog clearing to give us a clearer picture of what's going on, the fog is getting so thick that it's almost starting to form shapes that we can start to analyze. So the Democrats and the media are actually making more fog on the election interference engaged in by Obama. But to me, it's actually giving it shape so I can start to identify it. And so to me, it seems like, and this kind of echoes what you said, there's a lot of good people at the CIA and the FBI. They were probably just doing their job. Who knows how politically influenced they may or may not have been, but they see the real investigation going on here, and they don't want to be the ones accused of the crimes, the ones accused of treason or whatever the charges might be. And so, but those are just kind of low-level people that maybe now becoming whistleblowers. But even Clapper and Brennan on television interviews have pretty much so much said that, no, this was Obama's orders. We were doing what Obama told us. Do you see this kind of chain of command just keep going down where people who were maybe just, you know, quote unquote, doing their job are now realizing what they were a part of, see what Durham and Barr are investigating and saying, hey, wait a second. You know, I wasn't involved in a cover up. I wasn't involved in a coup. I'll help you with this investigation.
Look, in my book, Deep State Target, I lay it all out in a chronological fashion. So we would probably need a couple hours to really get to the bottom of all the actors. So I'm going to summarize it here. As an American, who was working for a presidential campaign, living abroad initially, like I was, no foreign governments, especially allied governments, are going to be going around trying to meet with an American working for a rival presidential campaign the way they were and trying to record his conversations, like people like Alexander Downer from Australia were doing, Stefan Halper in London, and the British involvement, and now with Italy's involvement, unless the Obama administration at the very highest levels themselves was ordering these foreign governments to do it. There's a reason Clapper just last week, like you said, was on CNN, I believe, and he said, no, look, Obama ordered this. He wanted all the info. You have people like Peter Strzok and Lisa Page texting one another. The president wants to know everything. I think this was the brain game of both Brennan and Obama. They went around getting all these governments to work with them, and then Comey was the errand boy who was used to get the FISA warrants on probably multiple people working with the campaign and not just Carter Page. That's what all the evidence suggests is coming out. There's a reason Brennan and Clapper are becoming increasingly unhinged. It looks like they're flipping on one another, and Comey has gone completely radio silent. So I've been talking about this for close to a year now. Initially, I had people like Michael Hayden, who was running the CIA, I think, under Bush in the first couple months of Obama, saying, oh, Papadopoulos is spouting conspiracy stuff, when I started mentioning that the British and the Australians were involved. And now you have the president himself echoing the same things I have been saying and William Barr going around and chasing these leads, which are not only substantive, but they're actually resulting in the scope and the capabilities of the investigation becoming a lot bigger. So that's what I truly believe.
And again, this is all well documented in your book. Go ahead and pull that back up, guys. Deep state target. And I know, George, a lot of this may get redundant to you, but it's just so important to continue to pound this information home as the American public is becoming more privy to what's going on.
Well, you know what's even more interesting? I just want to make a point about why I believe Durham and Barr are looking at a conspiracy, and why I also think that their incipient investigation has now morphed into a criminal investigation. The guy at the center of the entire Russia hoax, Joseph Mipsa, this Italian operative who has now recently been outed pretty much all around the world, I thought, and I think the world thought, that he was just involved in my case and only in my case and trying to entrap me. But what happened recently is, due to the great Sidney Powell,
Hold on. You know what, George? If you don't mind, because this is actually the big thing I wanted to get you on
about,
got to take a break in 90 seconds. Let's actually get into that on the other side. And just in 90 seconds, quickly, give me your opinion on this, because that's actually the big thing I wanted to get you on right now, because I think this is a missing link. A lot of people are missing here. But we'll get into that in the next side. But just quickly, in 60 seconds, to me, you're a real whistleblower. You put your life on the line. You put your career on the line. I mean, you put it all on the line to put this information out there. You knew you got set up. You did the right thing. You're an American hero. You wrote the book. When you see all these fake Adam Schiff whistleblowers coming forward, getting all the media attention, and you're the real whistleblower, what's going through your head?
You know, what's going through my head is these people are traitors. They hate America, and they want one thing and only one thing, and that's power. The difference between me and them is I love America. America's first in my heart and my mind. And everything I've done throughout my entire career was designed to advance American interests and to give back to this country that's given me so much. So when I see people going out there trying to spread innuendo and real conspiracy theories to try and create this fake story that results in an impeachment hearing against the president, who's essentially been targeted by these very unsavory characters, I felt it was my patriotic duty to fight back and support the president, and that's exactly what I've been doing for the last year.
Well, God bless you, because honestly, not only did they try to set you up, and again, folks, this is all documented in his book, not only did they try to set George Papadopoulos up, they then tried to intimidate him and gag him with intimidation and bullying from telling you this story, from publishing this book. He had the courage to do it. And so he joins us for another segment on the other side to talk about the big missing link right now to the whole thing, and that's Joseph Misfud.
Again.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the Infowars.com War Room, brought to you by Infowarsstore.com. George Papadopoulos is my guest. Honestly, I mean, look, folks. Like when I was a kid, I would look up to Mark McGwire hitting, 70 home runs a year, and that was cool to me. I got to meet him a couple times. like George Papadopoulos is the guy hitting 500-foot home runs right now politically with his book Deep State Target and all the interviews and analysis that he's doing, just being a part of the story. Not intending to be, but they tried to set him up. Now, he was getting into the big bombshell to me that nobody's talking about. And so I kind of want to get George's opinion on multiple angles of this, George. So I'll just give you the platform here to kind of parse it all out. But Joseph Misfit. Now, this individual, last known location was in Italy. This individual was part of the setup of you, part of the foreign intelligence gathering operation domestically for the coup against President Trump. Well, this guy's missing. Nobody knows where he is. You just had Barr in Italy meeting with Italian leadership to figure out if they know his whereabouts. Nobody knows this guy's whereabouts. So, I mean, where is he? Is he hiding? Is he dead? Nobody seems to know. But it's by my estimation, George, this is the big missing link in Durham's investigation and Barr's investigation. So while they're looking for Misfit here, they're kind of getting more whistleblowers, getting more intelligence. But to me, it seems like Misfit is really what the missing link here is. That's what's going to bring this whole thing together. So do you agree with that, A? And B, what do you think the story with Misfit is? Where is he? Is he even alive? George Papadopoulos.
That's a great thing. And obviously, thanks for the kind words. You know, I'm originally from Chicago, so I was watching Sosa hit those home runs.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe you're making us go down memory road right now with the 98 home run chase. But that's awesome, man.
Thanks a lot for that. But look, about Misfit, here's what happened. About 5 or 6 months ago, around the time when the Mueller report dropped, the next day after the Mueller report dropped, there must have been some friendly source in Italy, probably from their own government, who leaked a story about Misfit for the first time in 2 years. Like you said, everybody thought the guy was dead. They thought he might have been hiding out or whatever, or that he was, you know, maybe even in Russia initially. That's what they were saying. So there was a friendly source, and my wife, she's Italian, and she obviously speaks and reads Italian, and she showed me an article and said, oh, my God, George, look, they published his address, and he's been living for the last 2 years a couple blocks from the U.S. Embassy in Rome. My mouth dropped. I was on Fox and Friends the next morning talking about this. Giuliani started saying, wait a minute, what did Papadopoulos say? That Misfit was in Rome. And then the next day, you could see it yourselves and all the listeners, Donald Trump tweeted, I just had a very important call with the Italian prime minister, and we talked about a very important issue. No one knew what that important issue was, except I, even back then, understood that Misfit was going to be the guy that they were going to talk about. So Misfit looks like two things. One, he was working with the Italians and likely the British, likely handled by either the CIA or the FBI when he targeted me in Rome. That's the first thing. The second thing, and this is brand new information that not even I knew, I always thought that Misfit had a separate relationship just with me. He was designed to set me up, and that was the end of his story. New information by the great Sidney Powell, Flynn's lawyer, has come out and said that Joseph Misfit was also targeting Flynn in 2015, 3 months before he did me. So this guy is not a random character. I think he is a key deep state player, and that's why he's been protected for the last 2 years up until the Mueller report came out. And now that Barr and Durham are in Italy breathing down the Italians' necks, I think they finally gave up and they just gave them all up.
So then what is your final analysis on the mystery that is Joseph Misfit right now? Is he still missing? Is he dead? Is he cooperating? Does it even matter because they have the intelligence? And is he the missing link with the Barr-Durham investigation to what would bring it to a close?
When I saw that Barr and Durham went to Italy for two trips, I figured it out that Misfit was the key player in this. And when I saw that he was connected to Michael Flynn as well, around the same time that Peter Strzok and Lisa Page were openly discussing a counterintelligence investigation going back to 2015, I realized that this guy, he was a networker. He had a lot of connections in Europe and with the State Department and with the U.S. intelligence community. He went and was planted to meet with Flynn. He went and was planted to meet with me, and he disappeared, and they were expecting Clinton to win. I don't think even Misfit knew that he was going to be used the way he was by Mueller and the FBI and Jim Comey. He was, and it's probably likely now that Mifsud himself is willing to cooperate and tell the investigators what he really was up to and probably try and save whatever reputation he has left, because he was used and abused probably worse than everybody in this story. And he's gone underground, and hopefully he wants to redeem himself, because he has absolutely no chance of ever recovering if he doesn't.
You know, that's kind of an interesting analysis there, because it sheds light to, I think, what has been going on for so many years, where with these intelligence agencies, with these deep staters, with these entrenched bureaucrats, it was kind of just business as usual. And like you said, they expected Hillary to win. Yeah. So, you know, potential backlash or anything wasn't even in their mind. It's as if, to go back to what we mentioned earlier, it's like if baseball players have been using steroids for 10 years and they say, oh, we're going to crack down, but they know they're not going to do it, so they keep using steroids. Oh, a new commissioner comes in and is actually testing for steroids, and all of a sudden they're like, whoa, you know, I'm going to retire or something.
Exactly. Exactly. So these people thought that Clinton was going to win, and that the fake story that the New York Times and some of these other newspapers were propagating initially in 2017 would have been the real cover story and not the truth. So what happened was I came out with my story. I started to release various different names, including people like Joseph Mifsud, his real contacts in Europe, who actually introduced me to him. And that set the stone and the roadmap, I think, for what these investigators are now looking into. Like I said, I can't name names yet, but I've had people who had contacted me during my time on the campaign who were working with U.S. Intel, who were acting like they were friends, reach out to me and basically say, how have you been holding up? Meaning they probably went and became whistleblowers and told Durham and Barr that they were also looking to spy on me and others on the campaign. It's an incredible story. I'm so proud of the president for fighting back as he was trying to be framed. This should never have happened again and never will. And we're very fortunate to have a fighter like President Trump.
Well, and look, he's fortunate for people like you that have the courage to tell this story, because I know with the bullying and intimidation you endured, I mean, you could have easily just slinked away and not chosen to take this journey, but you did. And so we're grateful for that, folks. His book, Deep State Target, is available. You can get that for all his intel. George, we'll be in touch. Hopefully, as more things develop, we can get you back on the show. But, man, just as nostalgia going to break, was there any more fun as a kid growing up in the Midwest than a Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa home run chase?
No way. But, you know, I never got down to Busch Stadium, but I spent a lot of those hot summer days in Wrigley Field in Chicago watching that race. It was a historic moment, and that's what makes America so great, you know, those nostalgic moments. And I hope going down my life and probably your life and all the great Americans listening to this program, we can look back in 2019 and say that, you know, we did the right thing and we exposed the deep state. And
now what I'm about.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right. I'm told the crew has located Joseph Mifsud. So I don't even know this. They're working hard. The crew here. So guys, what's the story here? We've located Joseph Mifsud. Let me see what we got here. I have 10 seconds. Is he really in this picture? Is it where's Waldo? He really is? All right, hold on. There he is. I see him in the bottom left. I got him. Ha! You didn't know that I was a Where's Waldo whiz kid growing up. I had every Where's Waldo book. You put him right by Waldo, too. Good job. The hardest Where's Waldo ever was the final page of, like, the Where's Waldo special, where it's 10,000 Waldos on a big dancing set. Do you guys remember that one? I used to love Where's Waldo growing up. I also did the I Spy books, too. Okay, I'm going off on a tangent now. Where's Waldo? Where's Joseph Mifsud? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm excited. We've got the graphics up now, too. I'm going to put a tweet out later, but join me. the weekend of November 9th and 10th, where, and we need to update this. This is actually inaccurate. This is November 10th. But November 9th, Tent City Tailgate Part 2. Tent City Tailgate Part 2. Come out and join me. Now, they have not released the kickoff time for the UT football game that day that we're going to be tailgating outside. But we're going to set up 3 hours prior to tailgate. Hopefully that's the plan. It'll be an afternoon kickoff. If it is an early kickoff, we'll let you know the time. But we're going to be out there for the UT football game on November 9th. Tent City Tailgate. Come out and join us. The crew will be out there. I'll be out there. I'll have a live stream set up. We'll have a booth set up. We'll have a grill going. We'll be cooking burgers and brats and hot dogs. Or if you want to bring something to throw on the grill, be our guest. We actually had another group that came up. Where do they come from? Like Lubbock or something? Who brought their own grill? From Waco. That's right. Thank you. So come join us, folks. And we'll also maybe have some supplements for you to trial and maybe give out a protein bar or two as well. So come out and join us Saturday, November 9th, Tent City Tailgate. Then the next day, November 10th, we're going to have the Veterans Flag Lay. It's Veterans Day that Monday. So Sunday, we're going out with a local veterans group Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Texas State Cemetery, and we're going to do a flag lay on the veterans' tombstones to honor the great servicemen of this country and make sure that the Texas State Cemetery is full of Old Glory on Veterans Day weekend. So that'll be the morning of Sunday, November 10th at 10 a.m. So you can join me at the Texas State Cemetery, 10 a.m. Sunday, November 10th, and then Saturday, November 9th for the Tent City Tailgate Round 2. It's all made possible with your support at InfoWarsStore.com. The Everything Must Go sale happening right now. So take advantage of that, ladies and gentlemen, so that we can do more events like this coming up. And you know what? I was going to put out the phone number, but you know what? I don't think I'll have time. So no more calls for the rest of today. So let's just do this. Let's just roll clip 20 here, guys, and I'll come back and do a news blitz. So, yeah, we told you about what they're doing with aborted baby parts and selling them. You now have undercover footage where they're talking about how they're learning to pull the babies out without damaging the organs that they can sell. Now it's come out that they're merging mice with aborted baby parts.
Bones and other body parts of aborted babies are being sold and transplanted into lab animals. No, this is not a passage out of Frankenstein. These are real experiments happening now that taxpayers are funding.
It's abhorrent on so many levels.
Anthony Bellotti is president and founder of White Coat Waste Project, a group exposing experiments like this. Here are the reproductive tracts from aborted 13-week-old twin girls were stripped out and implanted into mice. Last year, the National Institutes of Health funded 200 similar studies across 50 institutions, mostly universities, in 33 states. This year, the NIH estimates it will spend $120 million tax dollars on research using aborted baby parts.
But this is a crisis now. This problem is growing in spite of Republicans, Democrats, pro-lifers, animal advocates. Nobody wants this.
Teresa Bukovinak runs Pro-Life San Francisco. The bulk of the research happens in her backyard at the University of California, San Francisco.
One of the most infamous projects that was recently canceled by the Trump administration was a project that involved humanizing mice. And that project required two pristine, healthy fetuses between the ages of 18 and 24 weeks per month.
Nearly 70 members of Congress from both parties are working to expose these gruesome experiments. They've issued a letter demanding information from Secretary of Health and Human Services, Alex Azar.
You're asking him to indicate how many different babies were used in each project and the gestational ages of each. Can you believe that you're even having to write a letter like this?
It is deeply saddening to me that our own government would be a part of creating this marketplace for the buying and selling of baby parts.
In June, the Trump administration took steps to end human fetal research, but loopholes allow most of it to continue. In response, more than 90 research institutions wrote Secretary Azar to say fetal tissue remains an essential resource, crediting it for vaccines and potential treatments for ALS, spinal cord injuries, and Parkinson's disease. Opponents agree this is important research, but argue there are alternatives to human fetal tissue. Using it, they say, encourages late-term abortions, which produce more developed babies that are more lucrative when sold for research. That means abortion doctors receive incentives to use techniques that preserve babies and all their parts for science experiments.
So the only two ways they can do these abortions is through a live dismemberment or a medical induction, which, according to the Society of Family Planning, is very likely to produce born-alive infants.
To our core, to our founding, the recognition of the importance of life is who we are, and we can never get away from that.
Legislation has been introduced here on Capitol Hill that would prohibit the Secretary of Health and Human Services from authorizing any research that uses aborted baby parts. Research on stillbirth or miscarriage tissue would still be allowed. Jennifer Wishon, CBN News, Capitol Hill.
All right, so there you go. That was from CBN. And it's really just shocking, folks. And so, but the thing is, you have to wonder, why did they lie about all this? Because they lied about what they do. They said, oh, we don't use the baby parts. Now it's all come out. They say, well, it's for medical research. They said, oh, no, no, we don't kill a living baby after it's born. Well, now they admit, yep, they do that too. So it's just, it's shocking. It's abhorrent. But it's the lies that really make you wonder. And, of course, they don't want you to know they're doing this for profit. And they always have to make sure to prop up their notion that, oh, you know, abortion is healthy for women. Oh, Planned Parenthood does all kinds of services. And so it's all these lies that they engage in. Why? The same old why, folks. Money. Money. And then not only does Planned Parenthood make billions of dollars off of your taxes, they then launder money directly to the Democrat Party. And so now you see why the Democrats are so interested in keeping Planned Parenthood afloat, too. Planned Parenthood is literally a baby-murdering factory and a money-laundering operation for the Democrat Party. That's a fact. You can't debate that. And yet they still get to exist, but InfoWars is banned. Yeah, Planned Parenthood just murders babies and sells their parts and lies about the whole thing. And launders money for the Democrat Party. InfoWars engages in free speech. So, you know, shut InfoWars down, publicly fund Planned Parenthood. That's the clown world.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Organs, bones, and other body parts of aborted babies are being sold.
InfoWars presents Fake News Anchorman, Stable Genius.
Real Stable Genius.
All right, welcome back to the InfoWars.com War Room. The Chinese communists just took over our broadcast for 10 seconds. That's what happened. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. All right, I got to do a news blitz now, ladies and gentlemen. But before I do, again, do not forget about the Everything Must Go special happening right now at InfoWarsStore.com. That's how everything we do here is possible. With your support at InfoWarsStore.com, I cannot salute you enough or this great crew that makes it all possible. Okay, let me get into this news blitz here in the final 9 minutes and see if I can't get it all in. Have you seen this? Ruth Bader Ginsburg wins $1 million prize for ideas that have profoundly shaped human self-understanding. You know what? I got to be honest. I don't even believe my own reporting right now. Can you guys make sure this is real? Did U.S. Supreme Court Ruth Bader Ginsburg really just get a $1 million prize for her work for pioneering gender equality and strengthening the rule of law. She'll receive the 2019 Berggruen Prize for Philosophy and Culture. It's true, folks. I tell you, that is something else. But she's donating it to charity. I'm sure it'll be some leftist anti-Trump group or some illegal immigrant group or like the ACLU where she comes from. Oh, boy, I got to move on before I start talking about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. MLB investigates umpire who reportedly threatened civil war over impeachment. Rob Drake, an umpire, says on a tweet, I will be buying an AR-15 tomorrow because if you impeach my president this way, you will have another civil war. How dare he? And of course, it's ESPN blowing the whistle. How dare you? How dare you? We will not let you have an AR, and we will impeach your president. You don't have a country, American. I knew I recognized this guy. He got into spats with Cardinals soon-to-be Hall of Fame catcher Yadier Molina in their World Series run in 2011. He's a Christian and a proud patriot, and he's not allowed to tweet about having an AR-15 or about the Democrats' deep state coup. You're not allowed to do that. Las Vegas police will no longer detain people on federal immigration holds. So this is kind of a weird double-sided sword here, because at one issue, you're kind of like, well, wait a second. So now they're just going to be okay with illegal immigration. But on another side, you're like, well, they're sick of their facilities and their costs going towards illegal immigrants. So it's kind of like, well, they're allowing illegal immigrants now to go free. But also it's like, but they're sick of footing the bill, paying for all the illegal immigrants. By the way, I forget who did the story. You know what? There's dozens of stories. Illegal immigration costs this country billions of dollars a year. Okay? Billions of dollars a year. See, I need to just calm myself down, because there's all this fake self-righteousness. Oh, free school, free healthcare. Okay, well, maybe if we had some policies and logistics here that actually made sense, we could actually maybe do something. It's like they want to say, oh, Denmark is a socialist country. You know, the leader of Denmark just came out and disavowed that. Yes, they have a heavy welfare state. Yes, they have some government-mandated health care and education. It's a smaller country. They don't have the freedoms we have here, and they actually aren't socialist. But I'm getting off on a tangent. My point is, the Democrats just think that everything can be handed out for free, and they want to do all these things for Americans, but you can't give the world a free handout and still have a country. And of course, they don't care. It's not about common sense reasoning or logic with them. It's just all about taking your money, getting into office, getting power, and lying to you to do it. Cop shot during wild struggle with naked man in Harlem. You won't see anybody covering, you know, police getting shot. There's another officer that was shot fatally somewhere yesterday, too. Here's one. More than 175 musicians pledged to boycott Amazon festivals and partnerships until they cancel ICE contracts. So here's the deal. Amazon, with all its tech and all its cloud and data storage, it has all kinds of government contracts. And so now I guess people are going to boycott Amazon because of this? I mean, Amazon sponsors all kinds of things across the board. Amazon, it's weird. It's like Amazon won't go full anti-American. Now it's more than 500 musicians are planning to boycott Amazon. This is all a front. This is all trying to bully. You know what? I'm not even kidding you. I bet this comes out of China. Because Amazon won't fully sell out to China. And they make deals with President Trump. And so this is probably, I'm not even kidding you, folks. I guarantee you this comes out of China. In fact, look at this. You even have Chinese... what is Zhu? That's got to be a Chinese record label, probably, who's running some of this. So no music for ICE because Amazon has some sponsorship. What does ICE do? ICE protects this country from drug dealers and gangbangers and murderers and rapists that come across this country, across the border illegally. These people, man, I'll tell you, there's just... Kanye West says Yeezys will be made in America. You know, good for Kanye West. Again, I'm still kind of like just waiting to see the results on this whole Kanye West thing. Is it commercialism? Is it real Christianity? Is it commercialism? Is it pro-Americanism? But, I mean, look at the results. He won't back down in his support for Trump. And he's spreading the word of the gospel and Jesus. Again, whether it be for commercial or not, it's happening. And now he says he wants Yeezys to be made in America so that the jobs can be had here. So, I mean, if the results are in, the results are in. And Kanye West is doing what really all I think people should be doing that have those positions of power and influence. If you want to be pro-American, if you want to sit here and talk about social justice and American issues, well, do something about it yourself. And Kanye West, because there's a big difference between like LeBron James manufacturing all of his shoes in China and getting rich off China and then building a shoe museum for himself and then claiming it's a school. And then he's saying, see, look, I built the school. Well, what did you really do? Everything you do is manufactured in China. You sell out to China. And so you're not doing anything for Americans, really. You're not enhancing, really, anything. You're just telling them to buy your shoe and getting rich off of your fake social justice. I move on. TheHill.com, ozone hole shrinks to lowest size since 1982, unrelated to climate change, according to NASA. Now, you'd think the left would be celebrating this, right? Ozone hole shrinking? Actually, climate change levels down? But they don't celebrate this because it's all fake. It's all fake. It's always been fake, ladies and gentlemen. NASA needs new strategies to protect the solar system from earthly contamination. You won't believe this. Report finds, according to NASA, this is from Gizmodo. So, folks, now your man-made global warming is man-made solar system contamination. I mean, like, do you understand how ridiculous this is? This is like claiming an anthill in Africa is stealing oxygen from me in studio right now. Look out, guys. You're contaminating the universe. When you drive that car, Mustang just released a brand new, Ford just released their fastest Mustang ever. Uh-oh, look out, Pluto. Uh-oh, look out, Sun. California Planned Parenthood to roll out mobile abortion vans. You know, actually, I got this from you, Savannah. And have you been able to find any other news coverage of this? Is my producer even listening right now? Nope. Nope. So California may or may not have rolled out mobile abortion vans, and my producer may or may not be listening to this broadcast at any given time. Seattle public schools will start teaching that math is oppressive. Yes, because a white man once did math. Therefore, it's no good. It's like the whole thing with Columbus. It's like Columbus was a great pioneer. It's like Columbus bad. He was white. There were slaves back then. CNN.com, how religion widens the partisan divide. But you read the story, guess what it's all about? You, as a white Christian, are bad. Because the numbers show that white Christians support Trump, so therefore, you're the problem. So the headline says, how religion widens the partisan divide. But really, it's how white Christians are the problem. So that's nice. Bed Bath & Beyond pulls jack-o'-lanterns because they're black. So you can't have a black jack-o'-lantern without being racist now. All right, that does it for the InfoWars.com War Room. No, not the Steve Bannon War Room who stole our name. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.
No.